Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe here live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is back at our studios today. JoJo, what's up?
Hey, man. What is going on? This whole new stream that we got going on here, it's blue. I'm trying to figure my way around this, but I guess I'm there.
I'm working on it. I'm gonna work on some things with that.
No, it says that we're here, but I'm good. I just don't like looking at myself.
But you look so pretty.
I know. And there's the other mic in the studio. Do you see the screen?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm working on it.
All right, it's good. We're all good, man. As long as, look, at the end of the day, look, we talk about Bear Bryant saying football comes down to blocking and tackling. Radio comes down to just being on the air and having good content. That's it.
That's right. It's just,
there you are.
It's just, there I am. How you doing?
Good, man. The stream makes me look like I'm 90. I mean, I know I look 90. Okay. All right, I'm all good. For those that are listening to the car radio, like, what are you talking about? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. It much better. But we are live today, the Omni Nashville Hotel, which is where we are every Thursday. I already saw Todd Rodemel this morning. It was good to catch up with him.
The best.
From here at the Omni. But Jim Wyatt going to join us at 9:30. We're kind of do a little camp preview because it's next week.
It is.
We talked to John McClain yesterday. Houston opens their training camp today. It gets going here in Nashville.
John McClain, 48 training camps that he's done.
That's crazy.
Now, we've talked now, when the Oilers showed up here in 97, so to 24, that's what now will be our 28th camp that's coming up upon us for here. So that's a lot of time, too, as well.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I mean, that's a generation.
Yeah.
It's now grown up here with this.
I know.
You're part of that.
I know. Like, I remember when they first got here and how just, you know, we all kind of went through that. Wow, the NFL is actually here. You know what? Now what? And now look at it. Now it's like you can't go a day without talking about the Titans.
It's great. What was the vote? Was it 59-41? Was that the final vote in 96 to bring him here?
Probably. Like, I remember all those NFL yes signs or yeah. NFL no and all that. And what's funny is there's still people in this city. And look, as someone that grew up here and you grew up here, there are aspects of old Nashville that I miss, obviously. A lot of people, like, but we're sitting in the results of new Nashville, you know,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the growth. And that doesn't happen if you don't have that stadium across the river mm-hmm. and then soon to be the new stadium right next to it.
Oh, and you don't have Nissan?
Yeah.
Oracle's not here.
Yeah, right. You're talking about corporate Nissan moving
yeah.
here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no, the Nissan, yeah. Nissan at Rivergate.
I was like, this is what I just was talking about, the stadium.
No, yeah, but you're right. All these great businesses have come here, and everything that's happened after that, and it's great. And look, here's the thing. I'm a big, and you're like me, man. You're a big charitable guy. So a lot of things you do off the field, off the ice is important. And the Predators Foundation's great. These Titans players have their personal foundations and their charities, and they give so much back to the community, and that's what I really love about that. So it's a win-win for everything. And this is kind of the calm before the storm right now for us because starting Tuesday, man, it is you-know-what to the wall, and then we will be – football's here, and it's great. We survived the June topics.
We did. The June topics, the July topics, but we'll be getting into storylines with training camp and all of that. And look, I'm curious to see how Brian Callahan, being a first-year head coach, handles going into his first training camp. Because you can be a coordinator and you know be a part of it and obviously go through it. And like he was in Cincinnati, his father's been a head coach in the National Football League and give him advice on that stuff. And right. all of that, but then you don't really know until you do it yourself.
Here, my thing, what
it's like.
Remember the practices, at least under Fisher and Munchak, they were long, 2.5 hour oh, yeah. practices.
But they still did 2 days.
These practices are like an hour and 15.
Yeah,
I mean, how much time are you on the field? It's I don't.
But that's been you know that's in the CBA. Like, they don't get as much practice time anymore. And, like, I've heard Derek talk about that. He goes, you know, you see all these injuries and stuff. It's because these guys don't want to practice, and so they negotiated to get less practice. But it shows.
Yeah.
Like, you watch the games, and that's the thing. That's where nothing's really going to change with this, because we're all going to watch the games no matter what.
True.
But, like, if you sat down and you watched a game from 20 years ago and you watch a game now and you actually break down, like, the product of, like, playing the game of football.
Yeah.
20 years ago is going to look a lot better.
Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, there'll never be another Dick Butkus.
No.
Or a Singletary or a Jack Tatum or a Ronnie Lott. These guys are just built different. You know, when Ronnie Lott severs his finger during a game and the guy pops it back in on the sideline and it still looks awful, he goes back there, doesn't miss a beat. I mean, that football is gone. The headhunters are gone.
Right.
That's why Ray Lewis,
I don't get it.
I don't understand that. My job between the lines is to knock you out.
Sure.
Legally.
But we know the effects now of concussions.
Football has never been as safe as it is right now. Never.
Right. Because of things that we're talking about.
Yeah. So
I'm getting rid of those things.
I'm going to hit you harder because you got better equipment on you. You go to my desk, you see those new helmets that I got in there old helmets.
Sure.
The old helmets are terrible. These new helmets are fantastic. But it all starts back with youth teaching how to tackle properly and doing things. There's going to be knuckleheads out there who still do illegal hits after the whistle, all that. We still know that. But for the most part, it's just, I mean, guys can avoid contact. We've seen it. That's why when we see a guy who enjoys contact, we kind of gravitate towards that guy. That's why I like it.
The Titans did send out an email this morning that I guess Rand Carthon has finalized basically his staff. We know that there were some John Robinson people that were still there, and some are no longer there, including naming A.J. Highsmith as director of scouting. So,
is that Alonzo's son?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Probably is.
Maybe. Joey Glennon, I guess is that John's brother? John Glennon's brother.
Does he sleep till 10?
He's the video director. But, yeah, just a couple of things as they get ready to report next week. You have a question of the day. You always enjoy throwing these out at me. I don't get to know them before the show.
You don't. So we talk a lot these days about forgiveness, right? Don't we in our lives, forgiveness? That's a kind of a theme for a lot of people have. So here's what I want to know today. You, Chase, and Dr. Crane. What sports athlete do we need to forgive?
Oh,
that is and what sports athlete can you find it hard not to forgive? Which sports athlete do you need to forgive? Not an athlete, it could be a coach, sports figure. Here's mine. We need to forgive Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay.
Right? It's tough. But because of that, y'all got hypo.
Yeah.
And now it's feeling good in Knoxville. Had Pruitt stayed there another year or two and all this, you wouldn't have this right now. You'd be worse off you were when you had the Dooley era. So I think we need to forgive Pruitt. That's me.
Okay. Well, I'll go along those same lines. I laugh at Pruitt because it's like, I just don't care anymore.
Right. But, yeah. But a lot of people still do.
Here's a big one in Nashville. Ryan Suter.
Okay. That's a great one.
It's time to get over it. It's time to move on. Because guess what? You've had more success as a fan base and organization over the past, you know, since he left than he did when he was here. And he's a great player. Look, he is. You can hate him all you want for how he left and
right.
All of that. But you don't get Roman Josi in the sense that we've gotten Roman Josi if Suter stays. Because it would have been Weber and Suter on that top pair.
Mm-hmm.
Yossi's on the team. What does that mean for him moving forward? I asked David Poyle that question one day, and he kind of looked at me and he goes, that's a really good point.
Would not be the player he is today.
Right. So I think it all worked out. But, like, still to this day, every time Suter, and he's probably done. I don't think he's signed anywhere. But every time he touches the ice, people boo. And I'm like, just move on. Like, it's time to move on for it. So that's how I will answer that question.
All right, Dr. Crane, you got one. You got to forgive?
I mean, easily you could say Pete Rose. I mean, I feel like that's somebody you have to forgive.
Yeah, we've already got a vote for that on the text line.
I mean, I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah, well, you think about it. Or maybe
I have to ponder on it.
One thing I can't forgive, and you know, I love Mike Ditka. I love Mike Ditka. I can't forgive him for giving up, and I was a Saints fan, still a little bit of a Saints fan. I can't forgive him for giving up the entire draft for Ricky Williams. That still, to this day, inflamed me, and I'll have to work on that. And I don't know if I'll be able to forgive Mike Ditka for that, giving everything up for Ricky Williams. And then going on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a wedding gown, which was just odd.
I forgot about that.
So that's me. So I got Pruitt. We need to forgive Pruitt. It's time to move on. I know people. A lot of people still upset with him. Dooley's another one for me, too. It's kind of hard that just kind of forget because he was so stupid.
Derek Dooley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now – and you know, to a kind of degree for that, do we forgive Wisenhunt? Because we saw how bad it was.
That's a good one.
We saw how – look, Titans fan, if you're new to the game – You weren't here in 14 and 15. It was bad.
Can I say another one?
Yeah.
John Robinson for the A.J. Brown trade.
Chaser, I don't know about that one. I don't.
You can't do anything to change it now.
I know, but that's probably the best one.
But like,
that's tough.
I mean, it is the biggest thing that people want to complain about.
And like, they should.
And right. Like, I mean, it was a – now, I don't 100% blame him for that. I think he got some directives.
Right. But yeah, he did.
I'm pretty sure on that, right. Actually. But he's going to always have to be the one to take the blame for it.
Yeah.
You know, but – and it set this franchise back. I mean, this – it set everything back.
Even right now.
But there's nothing you can do to change it.
Oh, that's a great one. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I have to get back. Give me till 11 o'clock. I'll let you know.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our question of the day, what sports figure do you forgive for whatever reason?
Got to find it in your heart, man.
615-737-1025. Oh, I want to see it. I bet that's going to trick
that
people.
Robinson one is fantastic. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I bet like 2% are going to agree with me, and the rest are going to say, you suck. You go away.
Think of all the dominoes after that with the Treylon Burks, and now they had to go out and sign Ridley and Hopkins and everybody else, and holy cow.
Now, I'll add a thought on that coming up next.
Okay.
That might expedite this process. 615-737-1025. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday, the Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, yeah.
The OG Hawaii 5-0. Love that drum at the beginning.
Go back and watch the opening of Hawaii 5-0. It was, at the time, it was iconic and different, and people loved it. And Jack Lord, man, perfect hair, handsome, like Colin Kadoof, handsome. Handsome young man, and on the balcony when the camera zooms in on him. Yeah, man, good call there, Dr. Crane.
615-737-1025. Our question of the day is a simple one. Who in the sports world do you forgive? You can also say who you don't forgive, but who do you forgive? And I...
Who can't you forgive?
Who can't I forgive?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be so tough.
Yeah, that one's tougher. I want to say, like, Ray Lewis. In fact, I will say Ray Lewis.
For
when he ripped that ball out of Eddie's hands, he, like, ripped his heart out at the same time.
I thought you were saying going someplace else.
No, not
Ray
that.
Lewis.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. People have said OJ. I mean, that's a. That's
but you can't forgive or
yeah.
can?
Yeah.
You can't.
Can't.
I could see that.
That's
as well.
Easy.
What about John Simon? You forgive him?
For the fumble or whatever it was. Yeah.
A lot of Titans fans still have a lot of. They're still upset at him from the 2002 football season and the championship game when he dropped the kickoffs and the.
But it kind of spurred a secondary conversation. It's time to forgive John Robinson for the A.J. Brown trade and to move on. And you say that it's obviously very difficult to do.
Yes.
I think if this year becomes a better year than anybody thinks it's going to be, I mean, a lot of the pundits think this is a 5 or 6 win team right now, as they said, even though they've had a very, very active offseason. But if the receivers, you know, Tyler Boyd, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, even if Treylon Burks has some sort of impact on this team. Calvin Ridley, obviously, the big signing.
Yeah.
But if that receiving core and Will Levis and they all look good and they end up having a decent year, then I do think all should be forgiven because you have officially moved on.
You have, but I still think the day hurts. Still hurts a lot of people. And the fact that AJ went to the Super Bowl that year with the Eagles, what he did to the football team and that game up there and the ultimate firing afterwards of John Robinson, I think that's going to burn for a long time because of that. But, again, we're on the same page with this. That wasn't John Robinson's fault.
No.
But since he was a GM, he gets the blame. He had to go ask somebody, what should we do?
Right.
And that person said, trade him.
And
I'm not paying
you
that.
Should look at the track record now of said person who, look, I like. It's her team. She can do whatever she wants.
That's right.
But I think there's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction sometimes on some things, much like her father.
Yeah.
So that's just me. And, again, that doesn't make her a bad owner. It doesn't make her a bad person. That's just something to pay attention to.
We sit here
today going into Brian Callahan's first season as head coach, and I'm excited about Brian Callahan. I like the hire, offensive mind. I think he'll do a very nice job. I still say Mike Vrabel should have probably gotten another season.
Okay. This
but
is
that
interesting
is what
one.
It is.
Matthew in Nashville, very controversial take,
yep.
Guys. Joe Paterno needs to be forgiven. No evidence was ever found he was part of the cover-up, but Penn State acts like Joe Pa never existed. The people actually at fault for the Sandusky stuff have been properly punished as well as serving jail time in recent years. Was I with you when we had Joe Paterno's son on the show years ago?
I think so, yeah.
He's like, there was never any evidence that my dad knew anything about, and he was adamant about that.
Right.
Of course he's going to be that way, but that's
The what got Joe Paterno was the, and I can't remember the exact quote, but he basically was like, I should have done more. Like, maybe I should have done more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there was that. And so that quote basically implied he did know something was going on. And I don't believe he covered anything up. I just believed it was one of those, you know, was it a, or I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say, did he think in his mind, like, oh, it's a boys will be boys? I don't know.
I don't. That's a good one, but
it's still
everybody
a very,
else seemed to know.
Yeah, right, right. So,
and that's the question. Like, well, if everybody else know, why didn't you know? Are you that far removed? You didn't know what's going on? So, but yeah, thankfully.
I'm curious. I need to ask, like, I know some Penn State people, you know, have, because I feel like they did put the statue back up somewhere. I feel like I read that. But, you know, the text is right. I mean, Matthew's right. Like, it does feel like they just, you know, one of the most legendary coaches of all time, they just kind of pretend he didn't. You know, it's like Penn State football started with Bill O'Brien. That's kind of what it feels like.
Right. Michael and Madison. I forgive Ryan Tannehill for the Bengals game. I was very angry for a long time. He's arguably one of the best quarterbacks this franchise has ever seen and brought us way more success than anybody could have expected
from
him.
Thank you, Michael.
That's a tough one.
Thank you, Michael.
For a lot of people.
That's another – I mean, honestly, that's another one. Move on. Get over it.
I think so. Yeah. Bad game.
Yeah. I mean, look, you probably win the Super Bowl that year.
Ooh, ouch.
You probably do.
Because you got the Chiefs coming here.
You got the Chiefs coming here, which I think you could have beaten them. And then the Rams. You could have beaten the Rams.
Think about all this the Titans have done for the Chiefs. All right? In 19, they beat the Ravens. Chiefs were supposed to go to Baltimore. Remember, we'll ask Jim about this. Jim was on the bus where the bus driver told him that, yeah, the placard was up for like, the Chiefs the next week. It's like Chiefs versus Ravens in the bus. Like, he was the bus driver already. They're getting ready for the Chiefs to come to town. And then, of course, in 21, they don't beat the Bengals, and the Bengals go and beat, you know, Kansas City and go on. But Kansas City had stayed at home for so long and until last year. So, yeah.
Wow. Here's a good one. 8395. Time to forgive Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do it to me.
Yeah, right. But I agree with that. Now, forgiving him doesn't mean anything necessarily for a playing career, but I mean, you know, because like, here's the deal. He upset people with the kneeling and everything. But I think at the end of the day, he wasn't a good enough player.
Oh, I totally think so. He was not a good enough player.
You know, like, I think he could have overcome some of that other stuff had he been a better player.
Yeah.
But him not getting a
so I guess the question, yeah, is that we're forgiving him for the things that he championed for off the field.
Yeah.
And that's the one. That's a good one.
I saw him play his last game. I'd randomly gone down to Atlanta, and it was the last year of the Georgia Dome, and so I wanted to go to a game at the Georgia Dome. And so it was Falcons 49ers.
Gosh.
And the Falcons were just this is a really bad 49ers team. I think it was Jim Tomsula was the head coach.
Former MTSU.
Yeah. It was the year after Harbaugh had gone to Michigan.
Okay.
And Kaepernick, I don't even think he started the game, but Kaepernick came in the game and played and got booed and everything.
Things you remember.
Yeah.
You see, real quick story about Harbaugh. When the 49ers played here, I think it was 13, we went – Wade Neely. Wade, if you're listening, I know you are. We're in the locker room afterwards, and Jim Harbaugh says, hey, before I start my press conference, I want to thank the Archbishop of Peru who's here tonight. He goes, good evening, Archbishop. And he was like 2 feet from us. I was like, what? The Archbishop of Peru? That was kind of – cool and very, very surreal moment.
We
right
saw
there.
Jim Harbaugh at Oakland High School.
He was great. Everybody was scared to death of him.
I know.
We just walked up and we talked to you.
Yeah.
And he just
he's like, "How you doing, guys?"
He and Jim Harbaugh's a close talker, which really made me nervous. I got a picture somewhere, and he got like really close to my. He was answering questions. I was like, "Ugh."
He's one of those people.
Yep.
615-737-1025. Who in sports do you forgive? Mike in Lebanon says, I'm way more upset about J-Rob's draft picks than any of the any trades. His failures are still costing the Titans.
All right. So do you,
that's fair.
Do you, what about Isaiah Wilson? Do you forgive Isaiah Wilson? I don't.
Nope.
I can't. I can't forgive
Isaiah Wilson. See, that's a tough one because if you don't love something, I can't make you love it.
Great point. My therapist told me.
And it was very clear he didn't love football.
Yes.
That he was in it because he got made to be in it.
Well, here's what.
And I think that's the case for a lot of people.
Here's what. Good evening, ma'am. Here's what my therapist told me. I can't want it more than you.
Yeah.
So I can't forgive him because as much as I love football and regret not working hard enough to have that talent, that opportunity, and throw it away. It's really hard for me to forgive you.
Yeah.
For you had the world in the palm of your hand. He'd be going in a second contract now.
Sure.
20, 21, 23. He'd be going to his fifth year, second contract.
Well, look, I mean, it's a completely different scenario if he works out.
Oh, yeah.
Like Robinson and Vrabel are both probably still here.
You imagine
they
that?
They never trade A.J. Brown.
Never?
I mean, that was the one that started the domino.
Wow.
And it was, look, I mean, you know, they did. You can use any excuse or whatever you want. They did the research and all that. They took the player, and the player didn't love the game, and everything went the way it went.
Thomas says, "Screw Kaepernick." Not only did he kneel for the anthem. Let's not forget he wore cleats with pigs on them regarding police officers. All right, that's okay. A lot of people agree to that.
One that sticks out to me would be Ryan Tannehill. Possibly with the interception in the AFC Championship game. Is it time to forgive that?
Which play?
Against Cincinnati.
Oh, that was the divisional playoff game.
Divisional, excuse
You're talking
me.
About Tannehill.
Yes, Tannehill. Sorry
yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. I agree. Move on. It's time to get over it.
Ron says Lance Armstrong. Do refs count? I still can't forgive the missed call in Auburn, Virginia Final Four game.
If you can name the ref, sure.
Yeah, right? Sonny, I'm with you on that one, man. Yeah. And that was rough. That was really, really, really rough on that. So, yeah, that's another one.
Jameson says, I forgive Tom Brady for ending the Colts seasons all those years. I don't forgive Ryan Grigson for not putting any pieces around Andrew Luck to protect him. And then there's the Trent Richardson trade. So clearly a Colts fan.
One more. Thomas, this is one. I forgive Taylor Lewan for getting busted for PEDs. As a matter of fact, he should have kept doing them because his play significantly declined once he was off PEDs. You guys are the best.
Absolutely. Speaking of the best, we'll talk to Jim Wyatt coming up next. TennesseeTitans.com. Get his thoughts on training camp. This is Chasing Big Joe Show. Live from the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Joe.
1025, 1063, the game live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Appreciate your participation on our text line. We say hello now to the wonderfully talented Jim Wyatt. TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find his work as training camp opens next week. Jim, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Doing even better since I hear that Anita Baker intro that Joe Dubin's got his fingerprints all over.
Hey, we're here to please, Jim. We're here to please. So we've been asking this question of the day of who in sports, what sports figure do you forgive for whatever reason? And I brought up that it's time to forgive John Robinson for trading A.J. Brown. And we took it a step further in that if all the wide receiver moves, especially the Titans made this offseason, you look at this wide receiving core, which on paper looks very, very exciting. If that all works out, does that finally make the fan base forgive John Robinson for trading A.J. Brown and let them officially move on? How would you answer that?
I don't know if people will ever forgive him for that, to be honest with you, just because of you know, it's very rare when you're able to draft a guy and have him stay with you all the way through. And A.J. wasn't an angel through all this. He made it as difficult on John Robinson as he possibly could, just, you know, him balking to come in here and work and just some of the things he did that made John Robinson think that it was beyond repair. But, you know, trading away a guy who I still think is going to turn out to be, you know, continue to be one of the top receivers in this league. I don't know if I'll ever forgive him for that because, yeah, if Calvin Ridley turns out to be a huge success, that's one thing. But I don't, how many more years does DeAndre Hopkins have left? How many more years does Tyler Boyd have left? You know, I'm looking at A.J. Brown now. He's still very young. He's got many, many years to go. So this is never going to go away as long as A.J. Brown keeps scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point for sure. But looking at this team now and those receivers that you just named, obviously with Calvin Ridley being the I guess, big signing of this offseason, everybody's going to be looking at him. But do you put more, I guess, pressure on those receivers to perform or Will Levis to be able to execute the offense and get those guys the opportunities that they need to be successful?
Well, I think it's on Levis. I mean, yeah, those guys got to do their part, but he's got to get them the football and keep them happy. And I know that's not the quarterback's job is to please all of them because you're never going to do that. You know, these receivers want the football, and one guy's tearing it up. Even if he's not saying something, probably the other guy's thinking, man, I want to get my share too. But Levis has got to be good. He's got to make good decisions. He's got to run the offense, and everything has changed for him since last year. I mean, he's got a new offense. He's got a new coordinator, new quarterbacks coach, new head coach. You know, line is different around him. You mentioned the receivers. So, I mean, he's got a lot on him, and he's got a lot to do here over the next couple of months to get ready for the season. We have got less than a couple of months now. We're probably, you know, 7-8 weeks. So I think the pressure's on Levis, but those guys are going to have to stay healthy and do their part as well.
We're talking to our good friend Jim Wyatt today on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Jim, and when you were a beat writer, when you went in the locker room, is there one time you recall when a player was just so distraught at a loss and probably because he thought he was to blame for it? We laughed earlier, Chase and I did, about John Simon when he dropped the kickoff in the AFC Championship game, and he was just so upset. Does somebody come to mind along those lines that you can think of?
It's funny when you were going in the lead in. That's what I kind of flash back to is that Oakland loss in the AFC Championship game. I mean, I'll never forget how down Aldo Greco was after that playoff game against the Ravens, where he had some misses and had to block it. That was a bad one. Keith Bullock was about the most emotional guy that I can ever remember after losses. And he's not a guy that would sit in his locker and pout. He would just voice his frustration and some great sound bites. I think probably the toughest losses I can remember where it was a collective group that just had trouble, taking their jerseys and uniforms off and leaving. Was that 2000 season loss to the Ravens? The 2008 season loss to the Ravens. I think that happened again in that after that Bengals game in 2021. I mean, I think those three games stand out where it seemed like everybody was just hard to find any positives after those games for some of these players.
Oh, I can imagine. All right, I'm going to flip it on you. The locker room where it was so overjoyed that it was amazing. And one that stands out to Chase and I was the game over on Monday Night Football beating Miami down there. That we couldn't hear – well, you were there. We couldn't hear Vrabel's press conference because it was so loud. I think there's moments like that where – we're talking about the good and the bad, but the locker room was just so excited and crazy and losing their mind. To me, that stands out because, again, we couldn't hear Vrabel's press conference because they were so loud.
Yeah, that was one of them. I think the one of all the ones, some of the ones that jump out to me was the New England win in the playoffs when Logan Ryan intercepted Tom Brady and you went up in Foxborough, during that same night. During that 2019 season, that was as raucous an atmosphere as I can remember. Playoff wins always have a different feel because you got so much pressure going into those games. The locker room after the Music City Miracle obviously was just pandemonium, because it was so soon. I mean, a lot of these games end. And again, the game you mentioned in Miami, that came down to the very end. So you're going to get some raw emotion, but the miracle, it happened right there, 16 seconds left, and players were still fired up from the play.
Right.
And they came in the locker room, and it was pandemonium.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're talking to Jim Wyatt this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, with camp starting up next Tuesday and hitting the practice field and everything, a lot of focus, Jim, is going to be on Bill Callahan, obviously, the dad of the head coach, first time ever in the National Football League. What dynamic? I know he's a great offensive line coach and he's been a head coach, but what dynamic can he bring to his son during training camp? Not game, but in training camp as Brian Callahan runs his first ever training camp.
I think just a calming influence and advice on a day-to-day basis on when things go well and when things don't. I mean, it's funny. I'm standing out here on kind of the balcony now looking over the practice field. Now some guys are kind of getting conditioning in and the guys that have been injured are kind of going through some drills. So you're already starting to get that feel for camp starting. But I'm looking over on the portion of the field where the O-linemen work, and I think I spent more time in that area this off season, I probably have the last 10 off seasons combined, just watching the O-lineman, just because it's been cool to watch Bill Callahan work and just his professional approach and just how he teaches guys about technique. And that group as a whole just seems as together as any of these units have looked in a long time. These guys all pushing for one another and demanding perfection if something's not done right. And I think that his approach there will carry over to his son. I mean, not everything's going to be perfect. Hopefully this team won't have any terrible injuries in camp like we've seen around here and seen across the league, in August. But there are going to be some days where I'm sure Brian Callahan's going to be fired up about how things went, and there are going to be some days where he's going to think, man, this didn't go as crisply as it should have, or or we're behind and where we need to be as the countdown approaches September the 8th. And I think Bill Callahan, who's done it as a head coach before and been around this league for so long, he can kind of be a calming influence on his son. So it's a great hire, not only as a, because he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, but also because he's done the job that Brian Callahan's done, and he can help calm his feelings a little bit.
Jim White is with us, and Jim, we've talked so much about the receiver group and all of that with this offense, the offensive line, I mean, ad nauseum. The tight end group, though, I mean, they brought in Nick Vannett, who, you know, has 9 years of experience in the league, but everybody else is three or less. This is, to me, a group that I think still needs some work, and we'll see who stands out in training camp. Chigakonkwo, to me, needs to take a big leap. But how closely are you going to be watching the tight end position?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I mean, I think that group has a lot of potential, but it also has a lot of question marks. I mean, I like Chigakonkwo. I think he's a really special athlete. I know he's worked on a lot of things this offseason that he thinks is going to make him better, but he dropped the ball too much last year and was inconsistent. And Josh Wiley, while he has gotten bigger and looks like more of a pro this year than he did last year, he didn't do a lot last year. He was hurt. And just kind of finding his way. And then you mentioned Vannett. I mean, I think he's a proven guy who is known more as a blocker than he is as a pass receiver. So you've got some question marks there. I think there's reason to be optimistic about those guys because they're talented. And I think also because there's so much better around them. I mean, I think the receivers are going to take pressure off the tight ends. I think a passing game that's going to include the backs more is going to take pressure off the tight end. So I think those guys are going to be working in more space than before. And I don't know. I think in some ways, too, just the pressure of being in an offense where you're running it so much with Derrick Henry, I think that's gone, too, because they're going to get more chances.
Jim, what number training camp is this for you coming up?
Wow, this is my first one was in 99 out at Bellevue is where it started off behind my son, where he went to the pediatrician right behind his office, right behind the pediatrician's office at the old Bellevue Mall. I was there for the first couple of weeks of camp until they moved into what's now Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. So I guess that makes it, what, this is 26?
Yeah, it would be 26.
Hard to play. And I tell you, they're completely different. Like, I see the schedule, and then believe me, I'll probably fall out on the practice field the first week if it's hot. But I just think about training camps of old where you're on the field from 8:30 to 11 and then from 3:30 to 6 yep. every single day. And you know, it's like Groundhog Day. You leave here at, you know, 10 o'clock every night, and you get back in here at 7 o'clock. You know, 6:30, 7 o'clock every morning, and it's just nonstop. This schedule now is so much more manageable than it used to be. You can get some work in, you can get a little bit of sleep, and you can think a little bit instead of just always being on the practice field or doing something.
Before I let you go, I know the story, but I want you to tell it again real quick. What was the first story you ever covered as a paid reporter at the Tennessean?
Yes, it's funny. But even before I did this story, I'm going to tell you about, you know, I started working at the Tennessean when I was working a full-time job somewhere else, and I was answering phones at there, taking hole-in-ones and taking bowling scores and, you know, track and field scores. Like, I was the guy the bell that used to ring. Mike Organ would tell you about it. It was just ding, and that meant that the phone was ringing. So I was the guy that answered the phone, and I took all those what used to be the Agate page. I took all those over the phone, and I hung around there long enough where they finally gave me a chance. I think a couple of people were sick or something happened where I got thrown out at Old Hickory Lake to cover the Tennessean Regatta, which is a sailboat
yes.
race. I think it was in probably early April, and it was probably about 38 degrees out there for the Tennessean Regatta. And that was my first byline. And I look back at this and laugh now, but I spent the whole weekend out there. And I really enjoyed doing it. Took a lot of pride in having my first byline in the paper. But when it came time for the trophy presentation on that Sunday of the regatta, they were looking around like, who's going to present this Tennessean Regatta trophy out here? And Jim White's been out here. He can do it. Like, and I'm telling you, back then I had Bama bangs and I had the mullet. I look like I need to be carded still. To probably get in the place to serve alcohol. But they looked around, they said, well, this guy, we've had Larry Woody present this award before. There's a guy named Charles Searcy down there, John Bibbs by there. They said, this guy, he doesn't have enough moxie to hand out this award. So they called somebody from the advertising department at the Tennessean to come out there and hand out the trophy after I'd been out there for 6 days freezing my butt off on the lake. I didn't have enough moxie. And I have to be honest with you, I didn't know what moxie meant at that time. I'd have been more in trouble back then. And but I look back at that now and laugh pretty good. I think it was Junior Ward. I can't remember the guy's name that won the regatta that year. But it was that was my first byline.
Well done.
That is a fantastic story. Jim White here on the show. Jim, appreciate it. We'll see you next week at training camp.
Okay, sounds good. You guys have a good rest of the week.
You too. Jim White joining us, TennesseeTitans.com, does great work for them, and he'll have training camp previews and all the stories coming out of training camp starting next week.
Yeah, our question of the day, what sports figure can you just not forgive, or what sports figure do you have to forgive? We got – Chase has a great one about John Robinson, but somebody texted him with one that I'm pretty sure it's 100% they cannot forgive this person. I'll tell you what it is.
We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe at the Omni, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Go 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, as we are every Thursday, Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Our question of the day, JoJo, is who in sports, what sports figure can you forgive, what sports figure could you not forgive?
There we go. 3217. Brian's got a great one. We will never, ever forgive Art Modell for moving the Browns out of Cleveland.
That's a good one.
So I've talked to many Browns fans throughout the years. They all are all universal in their pure hatred for Art Modell for moving the Browns out of there to Baltimore. And yeah. I see why.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It's different from the Oilers here because Bud had inflamed so many. We talked to John McClain about this. So many people in Houston were like, get Bud out of town.
What about Ursay in Baltimore?
Middle of the night.
Was that Jim or was that his dad?
It was Daddy.
Yeah.
Robert Ursay, right? Yeah. Move him out of Baltimore in the middle. And that's a great 30 for 32. What was it called? When the band stops playing or something like that. But Bud... Houston's like, get out of here. But Cleveland fans, they're different. They're amazing. You guys are so wonderful and passionate for not ever having a Super Bowl, even been to a Super Bowl. Isn't that crazy?
When you think about pro teams that have moved, to me, the most heartbreaking one has to be the Browns when they left. Even though they came back.
Yes.
And they got the history and all of that. But like when that happened, that has to be like the biggest – heartbreaking, to see and we've seen, St. Louis has lost two NFL teams, Oakland's losing, Oakland's lost every pro team that they've had, and the A's are the last one.
Right.
But it's like,
well, there's
you
one. Kinda,
you can point to all the reasons why that has happened, but
I think there's one sports team that moved that still to this day makes people upset. That's the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, we weren't around, obviously, but I know my grandpa was a big Dodgers fan, and he talked about that. Like, that was – because remember, back then, you got your news out of the paper.
Yeah.
So you got your news out of the paper. Maybe the nightly news would come on, but it wasn't all sports heavy and sports-centric. But I think that's the one that died. You know, and then the New York Giants baseball moved to San Francisco. But football-wise, it's got to be Cleveland. It's just got to be.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, it was kind of a bummer when the Chargers left San Diego, you know, because it's like they've – I mean, I know they started in L.A., but, like, they've pretty much always been the San Diego Chargers. And
but they had every chance to keep the team
sure,
there.
Right. Like, at the end of the day, you know, when you look at circumstances, you can't feel too bad for them. It's kind of it's like me telling the city of Houston to get over the Oilers stuff because Bud owns it. So, or Bud owned it. Now Amy owns it.
Yeah, now, yeah. But I just, yeah, again, you know, we're not from Houston, but John McClain was telling us that.
If John says for them to get over it, then.
Right.
Then I'm listening to that.
They just wanted Bud out of town to do that. But Art Modell's one that I think they'll never, ever, and he's passed away now, obviously, but ever forgive what happened and moving that. I mean, that was, you grew up a Browns fan. I mean, and then all of a sudden, what, they're gone?
Right.
And they're going to, but they're still playing, but they're in Baltimore. That was something. I had a friend that played, my junior college football roommate played for the Browns and Belichick from 91 to 94. And he said he regretted not fully embracing Cleveland as a player. Because he's like, it's cold. I want to get back home to Georgia. And he's like, I didn't understand that passion. He goes, I miss it every single day.
So when was their last season? Was it
95.
95. So Belichick gets fired 94.
Yeah. I guess it was Ted Marchibroda came over. And then he was the coach that took him, I remember correctly, to Baltimore. I think that's right.
Yeah, because they had one before Billick in Baltimore.
Marchibroda, yeah.
Yeah. And then Billick comes in.
Billick comes in and does that.
It's hard to believe that they've had, since they've been the Ravens, they've had three coaches.
Yeah, right.
think about that.
I mean, think about the Steelers, too. You know, another question, because today is the National Perfect Family Day.
Yeah.
Another question I was going to come up with is, like, what's the perfect franchise that throughout history has just been
–
Pittsburgh comes to mind, the Steelers. Three coaches. Since the late 60s.
They're up there.
And they got championships, and nobody really leaves there, you know, all that other stuff. But it's like a perfect franchise.
Yeah, I think you have to, you know, especially in pro sports, you have to, if ownership changes, then the franchise changes. But there's been so much consistency with the Steelers and the Rooney family that it's hard to argue that.
It is. And you've had it for a long time. You know, like, take the Arizona Cardinals. The Bidwells have been there on that team for so long. What have they done?
Yeah, right.
Nothing. I mean, you never think about the Cardinals. I mean, they won Super Bowl with Wisenhunt in 08, but you never think about the Cardinals being a factor going into the regular season.
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about the Arizona Cardinals. No, nobody.
The Bengals were that way for a long time, and then, you know, they've – but then when you sit there and you go, well, they've been to three Super Bowls, you go, well, how?
Let me tell you this,
Chase.
They
don't spend money.
So they went to the Super Bowl in 81 and 88. So in 90, David Shula was a coach of the Bengals. I read this somewhere, and I hope it wasn't true, but the more I read about it, it was true. They had like four scouts during the 90s, the Bengals did.
Uh-huh.
They had no scouts.
Right.
This went on grad guys. And they still were kind of competitive. They had Pickens and Jeff Blake, and they got Corey Dillon. I mean, there was talent that was still there.
Boomer.
But Boomer? Right. But they just had – it was just crazy how little resources that Paul Brown put in that franchise. That's why when Amy goes out and you hear Rand Carthon signing Ridley and, you know, getting Hopkins and making the trade for Tyler Boyd. I mean, you – as a sports – that doesn't happen everywhere.
No, it doesn't. 615-737-1025. We'll have much more in the second hour. Again, live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We also have All Elite Wrestling is coming to town. Tony Khan was on Stillman & Company a few weeks ago. We'll be giving away tickets to see AEW coming up on July 24th. We'll do that in hour number two. It's Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.